Our church is going through the cycles of life, you could say. We have had several new babies born in the last few months and weeks and days, and we rejoice and we are excited, and some of our church family is experiencing loss as their loved ones have passed on and gone to be with their Lord and Savior. So this morning, I just want to spend a little bit of time and just bring those families before you. Dick Reimer family, as they laid their mother to rest yesterday, and then for Dave and Carol, as they will, the funeral for Laura Lee Johnson is going to be happening tomorrow in the Hague Gospel Church. So the church family, if we can continue to pray for them and support them, that would be fantastic. But let's pray for them just before we go into the service this morning, into the message. Father and our God, you are a God of compassion, you are a God of love, and you are a God of who cares deeply for your people. You create life, you sustain life, and you also bring into your presence those who have faithfully followed and surrendered to you. And so, God, we thank you that this life is not all there is, and that we can rejoice with our loved ones, because when they pass from this life, they will be present with you. So we give you praise and glory for that. We pray for the families, for the Reimer family and for the Johnson family, that you would be with them, continue to be with them, continue to support them and uphold them and be their encouragement in the days and the weeks to come. And Father, would you be their strength in these times? So God, we commit them to you and we thank you for them. And two, as we go into your word, Father, would you teach us again from your word? Through your Holy Spirit, would you transform our lives as we hear from your word, as you move us to respond to your word? We pray these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Sometimes I wish that I had been a butcher, because if I was had been a butcher, I'd be able to introduce my wife this way: "Meet Patty." Yes. If I had a mic, I would drop it. My daughter is my biggest critic. I'll hear about it over lunch today. In the opening sermon of this series, we observed how Israel mirrored the pagan nations that lived around them. They were living in sin, but so was Israel. Their sin had been exposed. The consequences of their actions had been clearly presented. Yet Amos holds on to this glimmer of hope that if the people were to take seriously the warnings that Amos is bringing to them and repent, they still had an opportunity, they still had time to repent and avoid the devastating judgment. In Amos 4, verse 12, at the last part, it says, "To prepare to meet your God." Often this verse is used to be an encouragement, but what it's saying actually is not to find joy or comfort in this verse. It's a warning of the impending judgment. It's not a call for a joyful reunion. It's a strong rebuke. And in today's sermon, we're going to talk about Amos's warning and how Israel can, in fact, be prepared to meet their God. And it's kind of summed up in this one sentence: if you repent, God will relent. So I'm going to ask you a question. How often do you avoid warning signs? You know, the server, I do this all of the time. The server will come and bring your meal. The plate is hot. Don't touch. The plate is hot. I touch it. You know, and it's hot, and I've burnt myself. You know, I don't necessarily listen to the warnings. And the warnings can be extremely dangerous or disastrous. What about when a blizzard warning is issued? People are advised to stay home, and sometimes we do, and sometimes we don't, and sometimes we go in there. What are they talking about? There's nothing to be afraid of. So we were sitting at the airport in Mexico waiting to come back, and one of the people that we were traveling with just lives close by, and we struck up some, they were staying at the same resort with us, and so we had some conversations, and all of a sudden she's sitting in the middle of the airport and she's laughing. And so Pat, what's so funny? Like, doesn't seem to, and she said, well, I just received a text from my daughter. And there was a blizzard warning that said, don't drive from Regina to Moose Jaw. She drove from Regina to Moose Jaw. And she spent the night in her car on the highway. And she didn't avoid the warning, or she avoided the warning. Because sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But she ended up having to stay stranded on that road for a whole night with no supplies. She wasn't planning to stay there for the night. And there wasn't a washroom. So that was interesting. I will leave that story to your minds. But the stubborn travelers get stranded on the highway. But like stubborn travelers who get stranded on the highway, Israel refused to take God's warning seriously. They believed that they were safe. No, we're safe. We don't have anything to worry about. We don't have to heed the warnings. When in reality, disaster was very near. The Assyrian army would attack them eventually. Amos 5 is like a severe blizzard warning, in a sense, for Israel. God is telling them, seek me, and you will live. I am the source of life. Find shelter in me, God is saying, before the storm of judgment falls upon you. And Amos is telling them how they can prepare to meet their God, how to avoid God's judgment. There is time. There is a way for you to avoid this disastrous judgment that is coming. And it's by repentance. Repentance is the only path to God's mercy. Today we're going to jump to, in our series on Amos, we're going to jump to Amos 5, and we're going to walk through the verses in Amos 5 this morning. And Amos 5 verse 1 starts off this way. Hear this word, O Israel, this lament I take up concerning you. Now, if you were to look this word up in the NASB, the NASB uses this word, it talks about the word as a dirge. It's a song. Now, this chapter was written in a song form, and this dirge happened to be a funeral song. He wanted the people to know and understand the seriousness of what he was communicating to them in this chapter, and so he sings it as a funeral song, a song of mourning. And then verse 2, fallen is virgin Israel, never to rise again. Deserted in her own land with no one to lift her up. So the picture that Amos is painting here by using the term virgin Israel is imagining that Israel is a woman and that she is still a virgin, meaning that they have not been conquered by another yet. You're still a virgin, you're still pure, you're still holy, and you can turn themselves over before the conquering judgment happens. And Amos then outlines how they can remain a virgin, remain pure, avoid judgment, and it is through repentance, through turning away from their old lifestyle and turning towards God. And so where do they start? And God, three times in this chapter, he repeats. One time he alters it a bit, but he has a plea of repentance where he repeatedly calls the people to seek after him and live. This is the way to life. Amos 5, 4, and 6 says this. This is what the Lord says to Israel. Seek me and live. But then he goes to the opposite of that. Do not seek Bethel. Seek me and live. Do not seek Bethel. Do not go to Gilgal. Do not journey to Beersheba, for Gilgal will surely go into exile, and Bethel will be reduced to nothing. Here again, he says, seek the Lord and live, or he will sweep through the tribes of Joseph like a fire. It will devour them, and Bethel will have no one to quench it. Amos is urging Israel to seek God, and he warns them against relying on the corrupted cities. They were continuing to go to these cities that were once places of worship. Now they had become places of idol worship, and they were continuing to rely on these cities as a source of their religion. But Amos is saying, that's not going to help you. God is saying through Amos, those cities are not going to save you. They have no saving power. They once honored God, but had become centers of sin. These cities were no longer holy places. And Israel was seeking God through rituals and instead of genuine repentance. Seeking God through works, through deeds. And true repentance is not about works or rituals, but a wholehearted return to God that transforms hearts, minds, and how we live, our actions. Those who seek God will live, while those who persist in sin will face his judgment. Repentance is not about avoiding consequences. True repentance is about turning from sin, turning to God in obedience and pursuing him. Not only his blessing. You see, God desires a genuine relationship, not empty religious practices. Our rule keeping, our deeds, our actions are meaningless if our hearts are far from God. True faith comes from surrendering to God, not trying to earn his favor. And true repentance leads to a transformed heart that reshapes our lives, our loves, and our actions. How we live that out isn't totally changed. And then Amos said in verse 7, says, he gives us another way that Israel needs to repent by seeking justice and righteousness. Verse 7, there are those who turn justice into bitterness and cast righteousness to the ground. The term bitterness here is literally a woodworm. And it's poisonous. You can die from it. It's a poisonous plant. It had a bitter root, and it tasted awful and was harmful. So Amos is saying that you have turned the court system, you have turned this justice for people, for the less fortunate, what was meant to help and heal people, into woodworm. You have turned it into something awful, hurtful, towards your people, your own people. They're using the court system. What they were doing is they're using the court system to extort money from the poor people. They were offering bribes. They were taking bribes. And Amos is telling them the only way to avoid punishment for how you have been living is to repent from these ungodly practices. And if you go down to verse 11 and 12, Amos continues to level the accusations against them in verse 11 and 12. You levy a straw tax on the poor and impose a tax on their grain. Therefore, though you built mansions, you will not live in them. Though you have planted lush vineyards, you will not drink their wine. Listen to this. Pay attention to this verse. This is a strong verse. For I know how many are your offenses and how great are your sins. There are those who oppress the innocent and take bribes and deprive the poor of justice in the courts. Perhaps they believe their outward actions were fooling not only the people around them, but perhaps they got to the point where they actually believed they were fooling God. But God says, no. He says, no, in no uncertain terms, I know your offenses. I am holding you accountable for how you have lived your lives. I am holding you accountable for the sin in your life. That's a pretty sobering statement. You cannot hide from me. At this point, some of you, some of us might push back. Isn't repentance an Old Testament idea? Aren't we under grace? Isn't Christianity about relationship, not rules? And others might resist the call to justice, seeing it as political, or believe that religious practices still have value even without deep transformation. But Amos challenges all of these assumptions because God does not want empty religion. He wants your heart. He wants transformation. He wants a heart fully devoted to him. And true justice, justice and righteousness flow not from ritual, not from deeds, but from a real relationship with Jesus Christ, one that transforms everything that we do. But these people, they've been using the court system for their own personal gain, getting rich on the backs of poor people. Perhaps you have fooled your fellow man and yourself. But God is no fool. And these are the accusations that he's leveled against Israel and against us. God has had enough, and he's telling them, you don't take advantage of your people. You love them. This is what it looks like to be a follower of God. You love each other. You don't try and benefit from your fellow Israelites. He's calling them to repent. Amos 5, 14 and 15 says this. This is the third time he says, this is a little bit different way, but he's saying, seek good. Seek good, not evil, that you may live. Then, if you seek good and not evil, then the Lord God Almighty will be with you just as he says he is. Hate evil. Hate evil, but love good. That's a strong word to say, hate evil. Be fully against evil. That it becomes something so vile that we recognize when we are living there. But he says, love good, maintain justice in the courts. Perhaps the Lord God Almighty will have mercy on the remnant of Joseph. If you repent, God will relent. God will have mercy on you and will relent on the coming invasion from the Syrian army. That's good news. That's good news. They don't have to go into this judgment. They don't have to go into exile. They don't have to be destroyed if they would turn to God in repentance and learn to walk in complete obedience and surrender to him. Repentance is a sincere turning away from sin and turning to God in faith. And again, I've said this, and it results in a changed heart, and it results in a changed mind, changed thinking, changed desires that change our actions, how we live that out. It's not just regret. It's not just remorse because we got caught or we got found out. Often it seems like we come to repentance only at the point of being caught. But a transformation that leads to obedience and righteousness, and a recognition that you have grieved the most holy God. Do we recognize that unconfessed sin grieves a holy, righteous God? Amos is warning them. He's giving them this opportunity. He's saying, repent. Guys, listen up. You have this opportunity today, but you may not have tomorrow. You may not have, but you have today. You have now. If not, in verse 17, Amos informs us of what happens if they don't repent. Verse 17, there will be wailing in all the vineyards, for I will pass through your midst, says the Lord. This warning would have reminded them, it would have brought them back to the original Passover when God spared those who covered their, you remember the when they covered their doorposts with blood and God would pass over, and but for those who didn't pour blood on their doorposts, he would pass through. So God spared those covered by the blood of the Lamb, but death to those who were not covered by the blood of the Lamb. Now, instead of passing over them in mercy, God warns that if you do not repent, I will pass through with that same kind of judgment. Without true repentance, devastation is inevitable. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the intense wailing of the loss of the firstborn of those who were not covered by the blood? And then Amos gives another warning that the people were falsely believing. And he gives it in woes. He starts in verse 18. He says, woe to you. It's another warning. Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion only to meet a bear, as though he entered his house and rested his hand on the wall only to have a snake bite him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light? Pitch dark, without a ray of brightness, without the light of God being there. This is an incredible picture, an incredible warning to these people. Because Israel wrongly assumed that the day of the Lord would bring them deliverance, would bring them out of their oppression, and ultimately at the end would bring them into glory in eternity with Jesus Christ. But Amos tells them instead, no, you guys are looking at this wrongly because of the sin in your life. It is going to bring judgment to you. It's like they'll flee one disaster only to face another. You know, the man, he runs away from the lion, and he, just as he thinks he's clear of the lion, he turns a corner and there's a bear. He runs away from the bear and he gets into his house and he's resting and the snake bites him. And they're saying, this is the day of the Lord. This is what they're looking forward to. And Amos is warning, no, 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 you guys have been deceived into believing that this is right. That will be a joyful day, but it will not be a joyful day because of the sin that you guys are living in. The danger they thought they were avoiding would come to them. Their unrepentant hearts have made them enemies of God. And instead of salvation, they face exile, they face judgment, punishment. And as I mentioned, this prophecy also points to the future day of the Lord, Christ's return for believers. It will be a day of redemption. It will be a glorious day, but for those who reject him, it will be a day of judgment. It will be a day of wailing. Amos warns, instead of longing for that day, Israel should fear it. Fear it and repent while there's still time. God rejects those empty religious efforts. And he doesn't beat around the bush about it, how he feels about it. Look at verse 21 to 24. This is extremely strong language. I hate, I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. Israel had been deceived into thinking their rituals, their religious practices could replace repentance and righteousness and obedience. But God is far from impressed with empty religion. He is far less impressed with their festivals, that they are their offerings. They're a stench. He did not want to hear their songs, because they meant nothing, because there was no heart transformation. God detests their attempts at religiosity because their hearts are far from him. He detests your empty attempts at being righteous. Instead, he calls for justice and righteousness to flow like a never-ending stream. And his call to repentance and warning of judgment, they ultimately point to Christ. Under the new covenant, true life is not found in religiosity, rituals, deeds, but in Christ alone. John 14:6. Amos urged Israel to seek God and live. But we know that seeking God means placing our faith in Jesus. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way. There is no other way. And just as the blood of the Passover lamb spared Israel, would spare Israel from judgment, only those covered by the lamb, the blood of Christ, the true Passover lamb, are saved. Don't be deceived. Amos also condemned Israel's corruption of justice, reminding us that justice comes not from religious activity, but through our faith in Christ. His warnings about the day of the Lord points forward to Christ's return, which will bring redemption for all followers of Jesus, but judgment for those who reject. The message remains the same today. Repentance isn't just about avoiding judgment, but about turning to Jesus by faith, seeking him above all else, surrendering our lives completely to him and living transformed lives that reflect God's righteousness and judgment. As Amos declared, seek the Lord and live. Today we proclaim, repent, and believe in Jesus, and you will live eternally in the abundant life, starting here and now and into eternity. Like Israel, we sometimes do engage in religious rituals without a true connection to God. And I'm not saying that doing things over and over again, or doing the same thing on a weekly basis, is sin, or we should avoid doing things out of habit, or this is our tradition. But they are simply not to become our God, our way of entering into heaven. And perhaps, I've been here, perhaps you're thinking you're doing a really good job of hiding your sin, keeping it from your parents, keeping it from your family, your spouse, friends, us, the church family. The reality is, God sees and he knows. And perhaps today you need to respond to the Spirit's conviction in your heart. And to respond, just seek God with genuine repentance. Surrender. Shift from empty rituals to a sincere relationship with Jesus Christ. For all of us today, I encourage you to take some time for reflection as we've walked through this. If necessary, confess your sins and embrace genuine repentance. Or maybe you've never come before Jesus and confessed your sin. But today, God is doing something in your heart. And he's saying, you know what, today's the day. Turn to me. If you repent, God will relent and you will live. And I want you to go one step further in all of this. Engage in community as a follower of Jesus. It's a place where we can be held accountable. It's a place where we can find support. Be encouraged. Encourage. Share with one another this journey that we are on. People to come alongside of us and ask us the good questions that bring us to the place of repentance before it's too late. It's only going to benefit us. It's only going to benefit you. And live out your life daily. Repentance leads to action. Reflect God's justice and righteousness in your daily life by seeking good, rejecting evil, serving others. Let your faith be visible in everything that you do. Repent, and God will relent, and you will give you life to its fullest. John 10:10. I have come to give you life, the abundant life. Let's pray. Lord God and loving Heavenly Father, you are a good, good Father. You desire relationship. You constantly warn your people to repent, to turn to you, that the life outside of you is empty, it's void, and will ultimately lead to destruction. But God, you have sent Jesus to save us from your wrath. Jesus took the wrath. Jesus took the wrath that we are so deserving of. By faith, believe that God took your punishment. Oh, Father, thank you that through your Holy Spirit, you are working in our hearts and our lives this morning. May you transform us and change us. We pray these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen.